I want to talk just a minute or two about self-justification. It seems to be a very bad problem in Christianity, although it's not Christian. It has nothing to do with the system that God has set up. And as a matter of fact, it really separates us from the system that God has set up. In Romans 10, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my supplication to God is for them, that they may be saved. And I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, that is, their own righteousness, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness, everyone that believeth." So God has put an end to righteousness by the law, by works, by self. There is, righteousness can only be imputed to a people who believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. No, nothing else. But yet you hear in people's voices, especially cults and religions, that they feel justified because they do certain things. And you've all seen how that certain religions will say you're not under the law, but you better bring your tithes or you're not pleasing to God. And of course we know that's not true, it's not even biblical, but it's because they don't have any faith that they do such things. Right? They have no faith. It shows in their doctrine, in the depths that they have to go to get money out of people. But there are a lot of other groups. I mean, when I first became a Christian, I think the second church I actually went to was a Pentecostal type church. And there was a lot of self-justification there, which was really displeasing unto God. And it had really robbed these people of their faith. You know, you're not going to have both. You're not going to walk by faith and be self-justified. The text we just read about, Paul was speaking of the Jews who were justified by works according to the law. And he said they had a zeal for God. It just wasn't according to knowledge, and they were seeking to justify themselves by their own righteousness rather than the righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And as he said, Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness to everyone that believeth. I mean, they were used to having to keep all these things and being able to proclaim that, yes, I've done this, yes, I've done that, yes, I've done this, and this to them was their justification. And even today, you hear the same thing in a lot of religious folks. You know, they have a certain doctrine, a deep revelation. They will claim that deep revelation is their right to whatever the scriptures is talking about, like the manifest sons groups. You know, now we believe in manifest sons. The Bible is very clear about that, okay? But there is no group that's a manifest sons group. So what claim do they have to such a thing? Well, their claim is that they understand it, so therefore they must be the ones. No, that's not true at all. As a matter of fact, their very works have denied that they know anything about manifest sons. And it's another way to self-justify them. You know, let me say this. Those who desire to live in sin seek for another way of justification. And usually it's something that they can do. We can do this. We can dress in a certain way and call it holiness. We can wear long dresses. We can have long hair. That was the particular fault of the one I was in. They called it holiness. They didn't know what holiness was. You know, modesty, of course, is holiness, but rules and regulations are not, you know. And so it made them very pharisaical. They could do all kinds of things like eat like a pig, you know. While they dressed holy. Well, so they're holy because, you know, because they dress right, you know. And, you know, this is self-justification. This is, again, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. You know, this is self-justification so that you can go out and do anything you want to do. There are groups that do that today. They claim some right to holiness, some right to justification by something that they do instead of what Jesus did. And since they're not justified, because you can't be justified in that way, it is a stench in God's nostrils. Since they're not justified, they're not becoming holy. They're not receiving the benefits of the kingdom of God, because grace comes through faith and justification. So they're not receiving this while the devil has tricked them into something that they can do. They figure they have a problem with faith. You know, everybody, all have not faith, Paul said. There is things that worldly people can do and still proclaim themselves Christians. But all have not faith. If you've got faith, you don't need justification by self, because faith brings the fruit. Faith brings the righteousness. Faith brings the benefits. And the people who are justifying themselves by these other methods, they are not coming into that righteousness. They're not coming into the power. They're not coming into the benefits. And so it's a trick of the devil. People, another thing that happens to people is if they don't have faith, or they become discouraged because they don't know the real gospel, they seek other means of justification by works or knowledge. They'll usually harp on it, one or two little things. You know, we do this. You got to do this to be saved. At the Pentecost church I was in, you had to speak in tongues to be saved. You know, you weren't saved just merely by faith in Jesus Christ and then let him work it all out in you. You had to speak in tongues to be saved. And if you weren't oneness, you were lost too. So you had to have their doctrine. They were special because they had this oneness doctrine and they spoke in tongues and they were holy because they dressed quite weird, you know. I don't see anything wrong with modesty. That's very good. I like modesty. It's necessary. It is biblical, you know. But when you make rules and regulations about what modesty is, that's making a law and it's seeking to be justified by a law, even though it's a man-made law. And, you know, we've seen people, you know, even recently that we've had cults that we have trouble with because they are seeking to be justified by a man-made law, you know, something that they made up. It wasn't even in the scriptures, you know. You have to scream at people on a street corner or something like that, you know. No. I mean, they'll harp on one or two little things. That's how you know it's a demonic thing. In every case, it's one or two small things, and it's like straining out a gnat, swallowing a camel. Okay. But this does not justify you. And condemn everybody that don't do this. You got to be like us. If you're not like us, you're not going to be saved. So those who find justification in their works or their beliefs, you know, obviously some people do it, but their beliefs, which is just a work of man, is all it is. It's not a work of God. They become corrupt. And they begin to judge other people. Yes, that seems to be a common thing. In fact, I'm going to go back and read something here. In Romans chapter 1 and 28, it says, even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness and maliciousness, full of envy and murder and strife, and deceit and malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God and insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who knowing the ordinance of God that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them. Now, how does this work? How can these people consider themselves just? Because their justification is in other things besides the cross and besides the righteousness that we've been given through Jesus Christ. It's in other things. They feel righteous because, and they've convinced each other, you know, that they're righteous because they do this, they do that, they believe this, or they believe that. You know, it's something other than justification freely by faith in the cross. Right? Wherefore thou art without excuse, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost practice the same things. Well, yeah, but the reason that they can continue to live with themselves is because they have justification through other things. And we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that practice such things. And reckonest thou this, O man, who judges them that practice such things and dost the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his works. To them that by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For there is no respect of persons with God. Now, what do we have to do the good? What if it's God who works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, and he gives favor? We call it grace, right? And by grace have you been saved through faith. So if a person walks by faith in Jesus Christ, he gives grace. He gives favor. He puts in them his desire to do what he wants them to do, and it comes naturally, right? It's not a law, a rule, or regulation that you have to do this in order to be acceptable by God, but it is a fruit of your faith. In other words, it naturally grows out of your faith for God. Let's go to Titus chapter 2 and chapter 3. Let me read a little of that text there for you. I'm going to start in chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And I believe that what he's saying here is the grace of God came in Jesus Christ. Okay? Because, for one thing, the word appeared here is the word epiphania, and it means a shining forth from or upon. So where did the grace of God shine forth from or upon? Jesus Christ. And it brought salvation to all men, just as the text says. In verse 12, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Of course, this is God's plan for us, and He gives us a gift to do this, the free gift of righteousness, Romans calls it, right? Looking for the blessed hope in the appearing, this is the same word appearing, epiphania, a shining forth from or upon, of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So this blessed hope is the appearing or the epiphany of the glory of Jesus Christ, shining forth from or upon his saints. And this is a gift given to those who walk by faith. We know that 2 Corinthians, I'm just going to make a quick sidestep here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us that this light that shines in the darkness of this fleshly man, this light that shines forth out of darkness, is called the glory of Christ, and it is the image of God, and it shines out of darkness as the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It shines out of these earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4 tells us. So this is what he's talking about here, is the great hope that people have who are justified in the Lord, that the Lord himself will come and live in them, and his fruit will be born in them quite naturally, quite supernaturally, but still a natural thing, not a forced thing. And I'm going to read the rest of Titus chapter 2. It says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify us, and purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works." So they have a desire for good works, put in them by God. It's a fruit in them. "These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be in subjection to rulers and to authorities, and to be obedient, and to be ready unto every good work." Of course, this is something that God gives a gift to those who walk by faith in him. You know? That's what reconciliation does. It takes the very nature and mind of Christ and puts it in you, and takes your old sinful self and nails it to the cross, right? An exchange. In verse 2, "To speak evil of no man." He's not talking about saying that somebody is evil. He's talking about speaking evil. In other words, speaking deceit or lies or a slander or whatever, you know. "To speak evil of no man, not to be contentious, to be gentle, showing all meekness towards all men. So we also once were foolish and disobedient and deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another." That was the nature of the old man. Obviously, it's not the fruit of the new man, Jesus Christ, nor is it what he gives to us to inherit. "But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love towards man appeared, not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." So, not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And, you know, some people are justified or feel justified in some things that they do, some things that are good things. I mean, you know, you remember how what God said about Abraham in Romans chapter 4. Let me go back and read that. 8. "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin." Is this blessing then pronounced on the circumcision or upon the uncircumcision also? "For we say to Abraham, his faith was reckoned for righteousness. How then was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision?" Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while he was in uncircumcision, that he might be the father of all them that believe." Now, the point is, Paul says circumcision is baptism in the New Testament. And are we justified before we're baptized? Of course, you're justified by faith alone. Baptism is a work. It's not a bad work. It's a good work unless you're seeking to be justified by it. And when you get baptized, it should be a seal of the righteousness you had while you were walking in faith that Jesus was your Savior, right? And he laid down his life for you, that he gave you his righteousness, that you are justified by faith, you know? Some people ask about the thief on the cross. Well, he died with Christ, you know. They say he didn't get baptized. That's right, but if he had lived, the seal of his righteousness would have been works. Faith without works is dead. But works needs to be a fruit of faith, not forced in order for a person to be justified. See? So he says, not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The washing of the water with the word brings us regeneration, rebirth, not just a single step over the line type new birth of your spirit, but the regeneration of the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. It's a process. It's a process we call sanctification. And the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Back in we're back in Titus 3 now. And verse 6 says, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Faithful is the saying concerning these things. I desire that thou affirm confidently to the end that they who have believed God may be careful to maintain good works. The foundation always has to be that you have believed God. Any works that come because you haven't believed God are just your works and they're worthless. They won't justify you. They're just filthy rags, right? These things are good and profitable unto men, but shun foolish questionings and genealogies and strifes and fightings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A factious man, after a first and second admonition, refuses, knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned. So the people who, of course, seek justification by something that they do are many times factious. They're divisive. Because if you are justified by faith and are walking, but walking differently from them, they want to glory in your flesh. Remember Paul spoke in Galatians chapter 4 about those who are under the law wanting to bring others under the law so that they could glory in their flesh. In other words, it makes them feel okay if you agree with them that they're okay if they keep some rule, regulation, or are justified by some work. See, it makes them feel comfortable, but they get nervous if you're not agreeing with them on that. They have to have some kind of confidence that they're all right. And they want to glory in your flesh is what they want to do, because if they bring you under some rule, regulation, or some thing that you do to seek to be justified by, then you're making them feel okay, because that's what makes them feel good. You see, why do they so dogmatically hold to these few things? Because to them, this is their salvation. You understand? They can live like hell and act like hell. But if they're justified by this thing that they do, it soothes them. It comforts them. But it's a lie. It won't keep them out of hell. It won't give them justification nor the benefits of the kingdom. See? It's a lie. But don't try to shatter that lie. Boy, they'll argue with you. They'll get very factious. They'll get very angry. Don't try to shatter that lie. Because to them, this is their salvation. I mean, they can be mean as a snake, but if they're doing this thing, they're okay. They've talked themselves into it. Each other, they've got a few people to agree with them. Yeah, yeah, we're doing this. Nobody else is doing this, so we're okay. And all the rest of you have got to be like us. You know? Or you're not okay. So those who find justification in their works or their beliefs become corrupt, and they begin to judge everybody else around them. And they get more and more corrupt because God turns them over to a reprobate mind, just as we saw there in Romans. And you can't talk to them about anything else because it doesn't matter. They're justified. They're accounted righteous because of what they do. you can't point out to them, hey, you're being ugly. You know, you're being mean. You're disobeying the scriptures. You're arguing. You're striving. You're hating. That doesn't mean nothing to them. It doesn't even go in their ears. The only thing they know is we're doing something, and you're not doing it. Therefore, we're right. You're wrong. Okay. Of course, it could be totally a perversion of the scriptures. That doesn't matter. You can't talk them out of it. The devil has deceived them into holding to this thing because they fear to turn it loose even, because this is the only claim that they have to salvation, the only claim that they have to righteousness. So they're afraid to even turn it loose. What a delusion. What a deception. And, of course, they're factious, wanting to justify themselves and belittle you know. But we know from the scriptures there's only one thing that would cause us to be called, elect, and faithful. You remember when Jesus came back with his armies and those that were with him were called, chosen, which is the same word, elect, and faithful. They were all called, chosen, and faithful. Well, that without fruit, the fruit of Jesus Christ, which comes as a gift of faith, you can't be that. You're just on the outside looking in. You cannot be that. So if you're justified by anything other than the faith and the reconciliation that Jesus Christ gave unto you at the cross, and you're on the outside looking in, you don't have any part in this. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained a like precious faith with us in the righteousness of our God and in the Savior Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So when we know the truth, and we exercise faith in the truth, that's where grace comes from. And he said, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. So we call this a like precious faith. And he said, grace, which only comes through faith, right? Be multiplied in you, or to you, because of your knowledge of this grace. So he's already granted unto us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. It's a matter of you accepting this gift by faith. And believe me, if you accept it by faith, and it's true faith, then it will start being manifest in you almost immediately. And, of course, the fullness of it doesn't happen there, but the further you, longer you fight the good fight of the faith, the more you will enter into everything that God gave to you in Jesus Christ. And it comes to the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. These promises meet our every need in the kingdom of God. They manifest Jesus Christ in us, that we become partakers of his divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world by lust. Justification, self-justification cannot in any way cause you to escape from the corruption that's in the world by lust. There is no benefit for self-justification. By anything that you've done or anything that you've believed, there is no benefits for that. It only comes through faith in the cross and what Jesus already did and everything that he's already given unto you at the cross. Your faith in that is what brings you justification. And the rest will stay in corruption. And it's not hard to see corruption, folks. Especially if you're in just true justification and beginning to bear fruit, it's not hard to see corruption. When you see somebody that is corrupt and sinful and evil and claims to be a Christian, just know that this is their problem. They're not justified in God. And verse 5 says, yea, and for this very cause adding on your part all diligence in your faith. This is the very foundation of it, being diligent in your faith. Supply virtue, and in your virtue, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control. Notice these fruits of the Spirit here, folks. And in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, patience, and in your patience, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle or unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So knowledge gives you these fruits, and the fruit then in turn also gives you knowledge. It's a cycle of life. And the very first one, of course, the foundational one, is diligence in your faith. For he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near. They don't have faith. They don't see it as theirs. Having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. So he's saying if you don't have this, if you don't have it by faith or don't have it by manifestation, your calling and election is not sure. You cannot prove that you are chosen. The word election is chosen. Eklektos, chosen. You can't prove you're chosen. You got no fruit. You can't prove you're chosen. It doesn't matter how you justify yourself. But you can't have fruit with self-justification. You can only have fruit from God's justification because he gives you this gift. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. Oh, truly. I mean, there is no sin against any of these things. There is no sin abiding in this fruit of the Spirit or fruit of Christ. You know, you shall never stumble, for thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this is how we manifestly enter the kingdom. We enter the kingdom at first by faith, and faith is accounted as righteousness. But then, faith without works is dead, so the righteousness normally comes because it's a gift of God. And then as you begin to walk in that righteousness, you are truly manifesting your salvation. Our salvation comes first by faith, and then it comes by manifestation. A person who is not bearing fruit or not manifesting their salvation, the problem is either they're in unbelief or they're seeking to be justified by something other than what Jesus gave them at the cross. This we cannot do. It's only abiding in faith that God will give us this gift. For instance, Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to start, I guess, in verse 18. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it was the good pleasure of the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and through him to reconcile all unto himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things upon the earth or things here, I don't think was in the original, obviously, whether upon the earth or in the heavens, and you being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind and in your evil works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him. Now, this is the purpose of God. It is what you have by faith, but it is also the purpose of God while you're on this earth. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him. And here's the condition. He says, if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, and whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. So, if you're moved away from the faith, justification by faith in any way, to justification by self for something you did or something you believed, then you're separated from this, and you will not, according to this text, be presented before him holy and without blemish and unreprovable. So it's a very dangerous thing to fall under the law, whether it's a law of your own making or whether it's a law of the Old Testament. It's a very dangerous thing. We know that nowhere in the Scriptures is anybody that doesn't bear fruit going to be in the kingdom. You know, Matthew 13, in verse 16, he says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see things which you see, and saw them not, and hear things which you hear, and heard them not. Hear ye then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and understands it not, then cometh the evil one, and snatcheth away even that which has been sown in his heart. Do you suppose someone could begin to could come into the, quote, kingdom by accepting Jesus as their personal Savior?" And, of course, everybody says, "Now you're a Christian," so they come right on in. But they don't understand faith. They don't understand justification. And the devil steals it away from them. They're still sitting on church pew. They're still fellowshipping with you. But they don't have justification. And frustration sets in when a person is not able to overcome their sinful life. And yet people around them seem to be doing it. Frustration sets in, and you know what happens? Quite often they settle for justification of their own, a justification that is not that which comes from God through faith. And so they settle on doing something that they think will make them acceptable to God. We know that that's not true. But they're still there. They still proclaim to be Christian. They're still very frustrated, sometimes angry. Sometimes, since they can't have fruit, it's all bad fruit that's coming forth from them. You know, Judas was, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the great falling away. And yet he was among the disciples, but he wasn't overcoming sin. And he was doing the works, even. He was doing some of the works of the disciples. It was apparent that nobody called him down for not laying hands on the sick and having them recover and these things. But, you know, he was not bearing fruit. He still had his sinful ways. He still had his lust for things. He was a thief at heart. And he hadn't overcome these things. And but he was the son of perdition. And right here he goes on to say, he snatches away that which is sown in his heart, even that which he began with, which was good, he lost. You know, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching hath not God. This is he that was sown by the wayside. And he that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that heareth the word, and straightway with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, straightway he stumbles. Yes, these people don't have this gift of faith from God to be able to stand. And tribulation separates the wheat from the tares. That's what it does, because it's like a dream one of my sons had years ago about, and I shared it with you. I haven't talked about it in a long time. I prayed for my sons, and they all had a dream or a vision that night. And my youngest son saw this ship on the ocean filled with people that were dressed in black and dressed in white. And the people that were dressed in, he was just a little boy, he didn't really know these things, but the people dressed in white were on the right side of the ship, kind of like the sheep, right? And the people dressed in black were on the left side of the ship, like the goats. And, of course, black and white represents their works, right? Righteousness and unrighteousness, right? And then he said a jet plane came down out of the sky and shot a rocket at the ship and blew it all to pieces, and they were all in the water. And he said the people dressed in black couldn't swim. They sank. and the people dressed in white swam around and built a smaller ship. So, you know, the thing is, they found themselves in the water, which represents tribulation. It represents the curse. You know, Noah and his were all above the curse, right? But the wicked were killed by the curse. So the waters of the word are also not only a blessing, but a curse upon the wicked. And, you know, they couldn't swim. The tribulation is like that. It has a way of separating the wheat from the tares. They can't swim. They can't stay above the water. It's a curse to them. And people who are justified by other means, they can't swim. They can't stay above the water. They can't bear fruit, you know, because they're not justified. Only in their mind are they justified before God. They're going to be the unprofitable servant who hid their talent in the earth. So it says, and when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, straightway he stumbleth. And he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that heareth the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So here's somebody that had the word, but he was too much into the world, right? You know, you can't poison your soul sitting in front of the tube all the time and expect to bear fruit. You know, those will be the thoughts in your mind the rest of the day when you wake up in the morning. Thoughts of those things, when you're in bed at night, you'll be thinking about those things. You won't be, because they're these exciting things, you know, to your flesh. You know, you've got your flesh all stirred up. You're not going to be thinking on Jesus Christ. You're not going to be thinking on the things of the kingdom. You're going to have that garbage in your mind. You just put it in there, you see. And the good stuff is being choked out. The word is being choked out by this garbage. And he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that hears the word and understands it, who verily brings forth fruit, or beareth fruit, and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Amen. This is what is the manifestation of salvation. This is the fruit of 1 Peter chapter 1. This is the fruit of Jesus Christ. This is the fruit that comes to those who believe God according to the word. Amen. Well, you know, we have people like this in our midst quite often. And quite often they gather themselves together because they have to have justification in some way. And they have their pep rallies and are so glad that they're not like other men. They're righteous because they do this or they do that. And because they believe they are. But that just won't work. It won't cut it. I mean, they will find themselves at the end of their life being rebuked by God because they haven't been obedient to the word. You know, our access, I want to read this, Romans chapter 5. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's the great thing about it, is you don't have to keep up this peace. It just comes naturally. If you are justified by faith, this peace comes as a gift from God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Our access to the grace, which is the favor of God in all areas, is only by faith. It's only by faith in what Jesus did at the cross, right? And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh steadfastness. And steadfastness, approvedness, and approvedness, hope. And hope puts not to shame, because the love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts, the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. So we need to c- continue to have access to the throne of grace. And that comes through faith. It comes through faith in not of our works, but in God's works. Praise be to God.